We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I don't have to get dressed up for work anymore. It's really cool. The guys out there and the gals out there that can go cash every day, it's nice. It's nice. It's the little things. Hey, we're going to talk about plastic straws. A fascinating conversation about plastic straws. I'm amazed by this. And Starbucks. And we're going to talk about this Point Park professor. Sound like a fabulous guy. And sound like somebody who'd just taken care of his roommate. He has mental illness, obviously. He was delusional and having nightmares. And boy, how many times have we heard this story? My gosh. I want to make a brief comment because I've been thinking about him a lot, about Mike Pintek. A lot of folks on the street have asked me about Mike. Mike is fighting the good fight. That's all I can say. We have never been on the same page, I would say. I would say we're very different but unique people. Folks who listen to me and listen to Mike have said that, so this isn't some sort of epiphany or revelation. But since he announced that he had pancreatic cancer and has been battling that, I just a couple observations, and I think anyone in this building would concur. With such a difficult battle to win, you could be, what would the word be? Morose, negative, cynical, sarcastic, angry, bitter. Mike has been none of those things. He has stood here beside me because his show's on right after mine, obviously. A day after day after day where I could tell he was in major league pain and did not complain one time. And we all complain. It's just kind of the nature of this business to a degree. Bunch of cynics, whiners, a lot of people expressing themselves, very emotional folks. And so I've been thinking about Mike a lot because he's battling and he's fighting the good fight out there. And we all have been amazed by how he has handled this. What you see is what you get with Mike and myself. We've never been what I would describe as close friends. We think in a different way. We grew up in a different way. We live our lives in a different way. But I could tell you this, man. He has done what I haven't seen most folks do. He has held his head high and never, ever used his illness as an excuse for falling down on the job or anything. In fact, came in here on days when most folks would have stayed home. And would be here right now if he could physically be here. And we're hanging in there with them. Obviously, we care about Mike deeply. It's interesting about struggle and how it brings odd folks together. I would say we have had better conversations in this room right here in the last year or so than we did in the previous 10. The truth. Whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, it's probably a bad thing. People that disagree should probably make more of an effort to find common ground before somebody gets hurt or sick or, right? Yeah. But what you learn is that struggle brings folks together. Brings folks together. And I think in the case of myself and Mike Pintek, not to make it too personal, but it has done that. And we're hanging in there for him as Mike's hanging in there and hoping for the best as he fights a fight that many folks wouldn't manage it the way he has. And I've been thinking about Pintek more than ever, only because he hasn't been around and we're constantly asking about him and how he's doing. And He's hanging in there. And the day he can be back here will be the day he's, seriously, if he could make it, he would crawl in here and do his job. He loves it. It's his thing. And he's fantastic at it, as you know. Sometimes folks think that because we disagree on some issues that we hate each other. I don't hate anyone. I never use the word ever for anything or anyone, even with folks that come at me every single day. So good luck, Mike, if you're listening. And we're in there. We're hanging in there for you, brother. Hey, also text us at KDK Radio at 866-391-1020. The text line is brought to you by Wright Automotive, the best deal in Pittsburgh. Bobby Wright, very cool guy. Hey, before we go to break here, I wanted to mention this straw thing because it's a big deal. Starbucks is going to reduce packaging waste for their drinks and meals, I guess for environmental reasons. So I don't generally go to Starbucks for whatever reason. I just don't have the time generally. I like their coffee. They do a heck of a job. And I went there a few times last week because they have iced tea and I love iced tea. So first thing I did was use the men's room. Nobody said a word. And then they have the best staff of any one of these establishments I've ever seen. They're just all professional. They're all kind. They all do a hell of a job. And if you watch them, they have so much to do to make a drink that I don't know how they do it. I just don't. And as their menu gets bigger and the drinks get more complex, they seem to manage it quite well. Long story short, though, so I get this tea, iced tea, $4.55. Yeesh. $4.55 for iced tea. I mean, it's a decent-sized iced tea. And then my boy Patrick tells me that his ex-wife, probably why she's the ex, that she was doing that twice a day. Who in their right mind? I mean, it's $5 for a drink. It's tea. What could tea cost? Now, they say it's infused. Some guy adds pineapple to black tea. What could it cost? No, really. If it's $5, it's $4.60, so I'm rounding up. Just say $4.50. What could it cost? 50 cents? Let's round up and say it costs $1. There's no way my little squirt of pineapple juice and some black tea cost more than $1. There's just no way. And my boy Patrick telling me that his ex-wife, I guess probably one of the reasons why, was doing that twice a day and she had no gig. That'll cause some consternation. And I'm not disparaging Starbucks. The product is insanely good. The quality is really good. Man, if you're drinking two teas a day, that's $50 a week. If you're doing this on working days, that's $200 a month. That's a small car payment. Good luck with that math. That's $2,400 a year. That's after taxes. So it's closer to $3,500 at least, maybe four for the big shots. $4,000 a year for iced tea. Whew. It's a lot of tea bags, folks. A lot of tea bags. But they do a nice job. All right, let's talk about straws and a homicide next. All right, so check this out. I was talking about Starbucks and what they're doing. So Starbucks and Hyatt, they're going to quit using single-serve plastic straws. Now, I'm kind of out of touch on this stuff, but I guess this is a big deal. I wanted to ask folks, just take a guess. How many straws do you think we use in the United States every day? Take a guess. Don't Google it. 866-391-1020. You're going to be blown away. 866-391-1020 as I get into this conversation. So a social media movement, this is the beauty of social media. Some folks don't like it, some folks do, but it's a powerful tool. So a social media movement to stop using plastic straws took off in 2015. Why? A YouTube video showed a sea turtle with a straw stuck in its nose. And folks go crazy. It's amazing the power of two things. Social media, the power of a video depicting animals in some sort of discomfort or pain. And bam. There you have it. Social media explosion. hundreds of millions of people watch this. And so people just decided, well, let's start getting rid of plastic. This number actually blew me away regarding plastic that enters the oceans every year. 8 million metric tons of plastic. No one out there know how many plastic straws we use without Googling it. Every day in America. 866-391-1020. How many? I didn't know. I wasn't even close. I would have thought a couple million. I wasn't even close. So this takes off. And by the way, Starbucks is going to get rid of plastic straws. Hyatt Hotels is going. Those little stirrers in the coffee. What a waste of plastic that is. Seems to me that we should all kind of quit using them. I mean, if we're going to start thinking this way, Entercom, the company that bought us, is very environmentally conscious and wants us to think about recycling. It's a great idea. It's fascinating, though, if you read as much as I do, you know, recycling isn't cost beneficial anymore because there's too much recyclable material. In fact, the Chinese don't want our recyclables anymore because their economy is slowing down. Isn't it amazing how all of this works hand in hand? So American companies are recycling all this stuff. They put it on these massive barges. They send it to China. They actually have to pay now. It's amazing. You have to pay to recycle. I'll do it. I think it's a great thing to teach your kids. I think it's smart. When we put our garbage cans up on Sunday nights, there's four cans, three of them are recyclable stuff. I think makes sense. Anyways, so Starbucks is going to check out, not going to use plastic straws. Hyatt Hotels, McDonald's, phasing out plastic straws in the UK and Ireland, testing alternatives made from other materials in the US. Burger King committed to make all of its packaging in the UK recycling by 2025. I like it. Patty.
Hi, how are you?
Good, Patty. How are you?
Good. So I think we use over 500 million straws.
We do. It's insane.
It really is sad because when we think about these plastics inside the ocean, you know, when we start dumping trash in the ocean,
yep.
There are floating islands of just plastic, bottles or whatever, that will never degrade.
I never thought of it. And then you start seeing these videos, and then you're at the ocean, and you will see, you know, the container for a six-pack. You'll see it floating around, and it hits you that it's disgusting and it's not biodegradable, and we should all kind of do something.
Yeah, I'm just really concerned about the ocean, so I'm glad that they're going to eliminate plastic straws in the future. You know, but when I was a kid, we had paper straws. They weren't the greatest thing in the world, but they worked.
This is actually interesting. So we went to a spot on the weekend, a little diner, and they gave us paper straws. And I wasn't aware of this big effort. And then I read this because I did not like the taste or the feel. You know what I mean? It's kind of funky.
But oh, yeah.
I'll do it. I get it.
We just got back from Disney, and at the animal park, I did have a Starbucks drink with a plastic straw. I had to get rid of it and put it in their little recycle bin thing they had. Then we bought a Starbucks drink in the park, and they used paper straws there.
Hey.
So we did get straws at Disney, but they were paper.
Every little bit helps. 500 million. Hey, Dan.
Yes. I know very, very well, because I'm a retired accountant, how many plastic straws are you use daily? More than 100. Okay.
You?
And, huh?
You personally?
No, but I do know this much. Another reason why they're doing away with plastic straws is because they think it'll help reduce the number of people who drink beer and whiskey.
Wow. Hey, Dan, hey? You're trying the comedy on me, man. It's not your best work. It just isn't. You got to go back to the drawing board.
Oh.
But I appreciate it. I guess he's not an environmental. I never cared about anything environmental, and now I do. Because you see this effort by folks, and they're passionate about it, and then you see these videos. And some manufacturers could benefit from the new demand for making some of the 500 million drinking straws used in the U.S. every day out of something other than plastic. Starbucks is one of the biggest entities to make this move. They have 28,000 company-owned stores. They're going to switch to a strawless lid. I saw that. Or straws made from material other than plastic. I've had the paper straws. I think it's a great idea. I think we should all try and do something, even though you might not like the feel, but so what? Love CBay. That's a talent, man. It's a talent. The older you get, the longer you're in the biz. You meet so many people that can't do what he can do. He's a... That man's a storyteller. Everybody likes him, too. He's very cool. I'm not close with him. I don't know him that well at all. Met him a couple times, but it's irrelevant. He could tell a story. I heard something Rose said about Southwest Airlines banning peanuts on flights. This is amazing what's happened in our culture. And the preponderance of folks who have kids with allergies. When we grew up, I don't know. Everywhere you went, there was peanuts and peanut butter. That's all we all ate for lunch. I didn't know anybody. I'm trying to remember. I didn't know anybody with allergies. Now everybody has them. It's got to be something, right, with... They say it's our food, our culture, our air, something. This deal with Southwest is actually fascinating because, let me read this piece, and it's actually spot on. This is a carrier that was their whole shtick. The peanuts, that's what made them famous. They built this airline on peanuts / cheap fares. Do you remember when they started? I remember interviewing Herb Kelleher, the founder, and that was his thing. No meals, peanuts. They throw bags of peanuts at you. The flight attendants were very cool. It's still my favorite airline. So listen to this piece. Southwest isn't the only carrier to serve peanuts, but it's the only one more closely associated with the snack until now. On August 1st, Southwest will stop serving peanuts to ensure the best onboard experience for everyone, especially for customers with peanut-related allergies. Other airlines have made similar decisions in light of rising rates of peanut allergy and concern for passengers. I get it. I get it. I've been in the store with women shopping with their kids, and they'll get near the peanut M&Ms, and they'll say they can't even get near the dust. And you don't buy it until you meet a kid who's that sensitive. And you wonder what's happened medically. There's 8,000 theories. Our diets, the air, having children too late, having children too soon, 8,000 different things. Southwest is the brand that made peanuts and air travel synonymous. Southwest was the first airline to serve only peanuts and did so proudly to show how cost-efficient it was. The company actually used this, and I recall this, marketing their prices as peanut fares. By the way, this allergy thing is real. In my own house, my son has peanut allergies, and so we have the, thanks to EpiPens all over the place. Serving nuts on flights is an increasing liability. Allergic reactions to peanuts cause 150 deaths. I had no idea. That's shocking to me. 150 deaths and 2,000 hospitalizations in the U.S. last year. And then American Airlines found itself subject to a formal complaint after passengers claimed their policies discriminate against people with allergies. In a statement, Southwest said it's been a difficult decision and that peanuts forever will be part of Southwest history and DNA.
There you have it.
Hey, look, man, I don't... Look, honestly, it's no big deal to me. It's just interesting to me, the dynamic of allergies and how many kids are affected by allergies. In terms of what they serve on Southwest Airlines, if you're protecting somebody with allergies, do it, man. It's a little bag of peanuts. And if you make a big deal out of it, that's your problem. It just is. People get all worked up about these things. I get crazy over the pet obsession with the airlines, not the peanut. So, in relation to that, so I brought my daughter, Chloe. She's 11. I brought her to camp on Sunday. Conaqui. It's on the, I apologize, Camp Conneaut. My other daughter, Sophia, was Conaqui. Anyway, It's right on Lake Erie. It's absolutely gorgeous, right there in the town of Conneaut. Anyway, so we pull in to check in, and there's this huge line. It's a medical tent. They have doctors at these camps now. They're very cool how they take care of kids. So there's a huge, there's actually a huge line, and I'd say it's over 100 people, and it wasn't moving. So we started standing at the end of the line, and the young lady, and they're the nicest people at this camp. It's a Christian camp. They have this chapel on. I just think it's a good blend, and my wife really thinks it's important for the kids. So anyway, we're standing there for a few minutes, and I'm starting to talk to Chloe, and a young lady walks up and says, this is medical. And I said, what do you mean medical? She said, this is for folks with medical issues. There was no one in the line for kids that didn't have medical issues. No one. 100 in the line for kids that have medical issues, and they meant medicine. So your kid needs medicine at camp, and the vast majority of it is allergy medicine. We have, I swear there's at least 10 EpiPens around for my son, Vince, and he's never had an allergic reaction to peanuts, but he tests for that. And so my point is that was astounding to me, and I mentioned it to my wife, and I've observed this before, that we're in a time and place where so many kids have so many allergies. And I'm telling you, I would have known this or remembered this when I was growing up. There, it wasn't pervasive like this. And by the way, folks aren't making this up. They're not hypos. Their kids have allergies, or they have different medications, or asthma. If you combine asthma and allergies, and sometimes they're one and the same, it seems as if at least half of the kids have them. At least. And anyway, we went to the front of the line, the doctor, and it's cool now they have these doctors in these camps. They have a couple doctors, and they check for head lice, which is also really smart, so that, you know, kids don't bring something to camp, and then it doesn't screw up everybody's camp. But this whole deal with Southwest Airlines eliminating peanuts, it's smart. It's smart. It's still a great airline. They're still on time. They still have really pleasant people. They still have really kind of costs that are fair fares, and they do one heck of a job in terms of greeting you and taking care of you, treating you like an adult on the plane. But my point was that something's happened in our culture, and I've read 80 papers on it, and there's 80 different theories that so many kids have allergies. And when we grow up, they just didn't. And nobody truly really knows why. Hey, I wanted to mention this murder of this Point Park professor. My gosh. Man, just when you read these stories, they're disappointing enough, but then when you read that this one could have been prevented. Somebody sent a pronouncer on the professor's name because we were butchering it, so it's Ricardo Tobia. 71 years old. I guess he was a voice coach, worked with the theater department, a lot of folks. He was a university professor for 35 years, and he worked part-time. Folks loved him. He cared deeply about his students. So it looks like he was murdered by his roommate. God. And the deal is, what troubles me about this, because we've seen this so many times, is that his roommate had told family members that he was having nightmares and that he was having visions. And he had just checked out of a mental hospital. I think, I'm not certain of this because I obviously wasn't involved in this situation. I think we discount this, and we like to kind of look at it and say, it'll be okay. And we kind of sort of look the other way because we don't know what to do. But this is a situation that could have been avoided. And it's horrifying how this played out. I don't know if you folks have followed along, but so the roommate calls a family member and says he's having visions and he's delusional and he's seeing things. And he thinks he hurt his roommate. And so, without getting too morbid, the family's very concerned because they know that the roommate suffered from mental illness, and he's in a mental health facility right now where he should have been, and this would not have happened. Probably another story for another day. So it appears, for all intents and purposes, according to police, the roommate used a sword and stabbed this professor to death and then killed his dog. I mean, honestly. And apparently that the dog didn't die immediately and hobbled around this apartment with footprints and blood all over the apartment. My God. Look, homicide is homicide, right? It's horrible. It's terrible. It rips families apart. But in this case, how many times do we have to tell these stories? How many times before we actually act on these cases of severe mental illness? This wasn't even warning signs. This was the guy just got out of a mental hospital. And so his family knew he was a danger to himself and others, is what we're reading and what we're being told. And yet he gets back into an environment with a roommate who must have been concerned. And here we are talking about the murder of this wonderful man, according to everybody that ever dealt with him, Ricardo Tobia, and murdered his dog. Look, I don't know what else we can do. I mean, in this case, it appears as if, in this case, it looks as if the family was aware of his mental illness. It looks as if folks tried. But as you know, if you ever try to get somebody institutionalized, they 302 folks for 3 days. And then you better find a pretty darn good reason to determine that this person is of danger to themselves or somebody else, or they're out and they're back on the streets. And it's not necessarily that folks in these facilities don't care. It's just there's a line out the door. And until we as a country address mental illness the way we should truly address mental illness, today this is the death of a highly regarded, beloved professor and his dog in a heinous act. Tomorrow, the next day, we'll be talking about another mass shooting and mental illness and how we didn't manage that and how we didn't treat that. At some point, we're going to have to address this dramatic need for folks to get treatment from mental health professionals. So now we have a man dead, his dog's dead, a heinous act, completely innocent man. And now the man who did it, according to police, he's a voice teacher at Point Park. He's now in a mental facility that he was just released from. There are, in the country, 30 to 40 million folks who are mentally ill, but there are 7 to 10 million severely mentally ill. And folks, by the way, who fight this battle every day with bipolar, folks that are schizophrenic, that I know and respect and admire, the folks that manage it get treatment. The folks that don't manage it don't get treatment. Or as they say, they get off their meds or they don't do follow-ups with doctors and they end up in a bad place. And oftentimes, if you talk to doctors, they end up hurting themselves. They're much more of a greater danger to themselves than they are to others. In this case, police are convinced that his 35-year-old roommate, his name is Joseph Martin, killed his roommate. They shared this home in Carrick. They go to this house on Saturday morning, and a family had called, a welfare check, they call it, a check on the welfare of somebody. His sister couldn't reach him. They found the door open. They discovered this teacher dead, multiple stab wounds that nearly decapitated him. So you have this vengeful, hateful homicide with the man who says he was delusional. It's awful. And his poor dog, he shot the dog. I mean, it's unbelievable. All four walls had unbelievable blood on them. So the young man who's in a mental facility right now was just at the psychiatric ward at Jefferson Hospital on July 5th because he was acting in a catatonic, non-lucid, unresponsive manner and exhibiting bizarre behavior. Now, the young man, he's 35 years old. He was experiencing nightmares and that demons took over and that he thinks he hurt Rick, his roommate. In 2006, this same young man who's in the mental facility right now, he was committed to Western Psych after his roommate told him he was making irrational statements and was chasing him around the house with a sword. In 2016, the suspect committed himself to UPMC Mercy Hospital after they found him hiding between cars with knives and a sword. Hey, when do we learn? Honestly, when does somebody at a hospital say he's okay? When does somebody at a hospital say he'll never be okay? Ever. I mean, there's a serious record here of major problems. And he will never be okay. And now a man's dead. And his dog is dead. And a horrendous act that a lot of folks saw coming. Horrible.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.